What's up, folks? Welcome to the Victor Cruz Acting Studio. I'm your host, Victor Cruz. And today I'm with a very special guest. I actually bumped his music on the way here, but I actually met this man before I knew of his music. We met just as Victor and as Nate, if that's okay if I can say your name,
yes,
Nate.
Yes.
But this man right here worldwide is known as the musical artist Bodega Bams. Welcome to my fairly new podcast.
Great.
Basically, the point of this podcast is it's kind of in connection with my acting studio as a way for actors to continue to be encouraged, inspired, educated in the industry. And I have a lot of students that are singers, rappers, dancers who come to me to get training to be actors. And I figured, you know, you and I have had a really great relationship working together in the past. Your music is so dope. And, you know, I say that sincerely and genuinely because I grew up on hip hop. Like, hip hop is a part of my blood, is part of who I am. And actually, hip hop is a big influence for me as I'm prepping for the audition, because as I'm on my way to an audition, it kind of is the thing that bubbles up my blood as I'm sort of making sure I got my lines intact and
that's dope.
You know what I'm looking to do. And it's funny because I had a friend of mine who said, you know, I want to teach an acting class where I mix hip hop and acting, hip hop being a way to inspire better acting. And I said, that's interesting because I find that I kind of do that organically, naturally. You know, I grew up in the South Bronx. For years, I lived in East Harlem. And it was just a part of everything that we did. So I couldn't live a life without hip hop
right.
in my life. But anyways, enough of me, brother. Welcome to my show. You're probably one of my first few guests, so
let's get it.
I'm honored. So a lot of people know you as Bodega Bams. I recently heard your last album, Poppy, which you released in April this year, 2018. And some dope-ass tracks, brother.
Thank you.
The first track on there, Bob, which you dedicate to your father.
Yeah.
Now, that's an actual ID, your father's ID on the cover of your album?
Yeah. I mean, so we, he gives me problems with that because he hates the picture. He's like, man, you could have got a better picture of me, man. I look ugly on that picture. But the idea, we couldn't find his ID. All I had was his old passport, right? And I was going to do the passport, but we couldn't find his immigration card, which my father was an immigrant. He was an immigrant.
Now, where is your father from?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And my mom's from Puerto Rico, and he met her here. And that's how he got his citizenship, because he got married to her or whatever, and they went through the process of that. But no, so
that's not his actual ID.
No, but we took a picture. Okay. We took an old picture from one of the IDs and we just attached it to the immigration card.
Now, is that your father's voice at the opening, at the top of the album?
Yes, it is.
I love how you open up the album with your father's voice. I mean, it was just so cool to just, and I know you feel proud to have your father as part of your album, and then you close out the album with you and your brother being interviewed, right, about your childhood.
Yeah.
And I love how this interview just kind of goes on. You got the music playing from the last track, which is 119th, right?
Yeah.
And it's just so dope that you took this moment to share the story of you as kids and where you came from. Now, when you were a kid, because, you know, you obviously very, very successful in the music industry as Bodega Bams, but did you ever think as a kid that you'd one day be on TV or be pursuing to be in movies?
Yeah, bro, I did.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. I never thought that I'd be rapping and I'd be touring, and I never thought that my music would make people cry, and I never thought that.
Right.
But for acting, bro, yeah, bro, I knew that one day I was going to be on TV, bro. And I know a lot of people, they say the opposite, like, oh, I never thought, but I always thought that of myself. And again, music literally became the gateway to acting, which is crazy because acting was something that since I was my son's age, I was I always wanted to act. I always wanted to be on TV. I always loved movies. I was being dramas. I would be in dramas in my church, dramas in the boys club. Like, I was always involved in the arts of acting, bro. I was always acting, me as myself.
Right.
So yeah, bro. I knew one day I would get there, bro. You know what I'm saying? It was the music that I never thought that I would be here. I thought that I would be doing this and meeting this person and going there and accomplishing that and being on the radio. I never thought that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a dope MC. I mean, you've clearly, I mean, the gift is unmistakable. It's there. You hear it. You got a great voice for it. The music is right. Now, your brother produces all the music.
For
the most part?
Yeah, so he's like a ghost producer. Okay. So my brother's like a producer. He's the engineer.
Yeah.
He's my only engineer.
Great music, by the way.
He tailored my sound. You know what I mean? He literally cultivated it. Like, you know, we have a certain way that we record. We have a certain way that we work. And, you know what I'm saying? He literally is like he is the spearhead of everything. He is the engine.
That's awesome.
He's like the RZA of Wu-Tang. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that kind of, like, you know, he's one of, just the brain. You know what I mean? Like, without him, he brings my creativity to life. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Now, what about him? Did he also have a dream to be an actor as a kid, too? Did the two of you ever role play?
Reenact scenes from your favorite shows? We used to reenact Martin.
Martin? Yeah.
I used to be Shanae. And he would be Booger Man. It was Booger. What was the guy, the kid's name?
What was the name of the kid?
Nah, the kid that had the boogers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I know exactly. He'd have his crayons.
Yeah.
He'd always be messing with Gina.
Yeah. So yeah. He would play him. My mom, you know what's crazy? My mom has videos recorded, bro, of us doing that. I need to find them, man.
You ever think maybe you'll grab some of that stuff and fuse it with your music in the future?
Hell yeah, bro. So, yeah, I mean, we would do that. We would reenact Martin and Shanae. That was my mom's favorite show. So
that's amazing.
And I would, and out of everybody, I didn't want to be Martin. I didn't want to be Tommy. I was Shanae. So it goes to show you where I want to take shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm dressing up as a woman, acting as a woman. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's where my like I said, when I'm in my zone and that, like, I just have no holds barred, no boundaries, man. I'm not ashamed. I have a lot of pride in what I do.
You could tell that in your music right off the bat, that it doesn't follow a particular formula. It has its own rules. You know, it may have, you know, I mean, the music that you produce may have something that's similar to something else. But what I mean is that you can already tell it has its own rules, really. I mean, when I'm listening to it, I didn't expect for the sound to go from here to here, or your voice to sort of disappear here, then sort of crescendo here. You know, like you and your brother, I know, right? Using some real musical terms here. No, but you, like, your voice sort of crescendos back in, and it's just really dope. Now, you know, very successful music career. You somehow found your way on the set of the TV show Smilf.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how that happened for you and maybe how you prepared for that.
So I got an email one day. It was a forward email from my brother, actually. Mm-hmm. And the email was 3 days after the fact.
Okay.
So we was already late on it. But it was an email saying, hey, we're looking for Bodega Bims. We're doing a show called Smilf. It got picked up by Showtime, ABC, blah, 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 blah. We're looking for what they got bands. I remember I was laying in the bed with my girl, and my brother was in the other room.
Okay.
And he's forwarding me messages, and we're in the same house. So I'm in the bed with my girl, and I'm looking at this shit, and I see Showtime, ABC. I'm like, yo! I'm like, oh, you just got this shit, bro? He's like, yeah, man, I just got it, man. So I got right on it, you know what I'm saying? I hit him back or whatever. They wanted me to go to L.A. They thought I was in L.A., but I told them I live in New York. So they set up a audition in New York. I met with Marcy.
Marcy Phillips, yeah.
Evan, stop yelling! I met with Marcy for the first time or whatever. And then we're in ABC, and I auditioned for the role, and they loved me.
Yeah.
They sent my tape out literally hours later, like, yo, we want to fly you out to L.A. So cool. I read for the male lead of the role. His name is Rafi.
Yeah.
So it's a crazy story. So I went out to LA. This is all like in a matter of like 2 weeks, 2 week window. Went to LA. Went to the Walt Disney Studios.
Yep.
Auditioning there. Now I'm auditioning in front of Frankie Shaw, who's the creator of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm auditioning in front of the producers of the show. I'm auditioning in front of the casting director.
Mm-hmm.
You're
basically testing for the show.
When I got there, it was four other people there. It was, so I'm saying, so went in, thought I did my thing. I felt good about it. You know, I made them laugh. I just went, I was me. The way I prepared for it, bro, was just me being me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, it was just that, like, I said, I'm always saying prayers in my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, to calm me down, stuff like that. But I don't really have, I go to the bathroom, smack myself a little bit. It's weirdo shit like that. Like, I'm just like, yo, come on, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So I thought I got the role because before I left, I spoke to the casting director, which I became very close with. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got it. And she was like, it's looking good. So I got, I got so hyped that the dude that was coming right after me, he heard me get so hyped, like I got it. So I was like, damn, I just heard. And then I went up to him, I was like, yo, good luck on everything, man. And I did it playfully. I wasn't trying to like rub it in his face, but I was just so in the moment. I'm like, yo, good luck. I'm like, yo, good luck. He's like, thanks, man. So then when I came back to New York, they hit me up. They're like, yo, we're gonna pass. Right? Mm. So she's like, yeah, you know, we loved him for the show. She was like, we loved him. She was like, we know we loved him. He was great, but you know, the producers, they just want to pass on him or whatever. We want to look for somebody more established. Cool. Yeah. I was kind of bummed out by it because it was a great experience and it was the first time I was going through this and I wanted to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. So to me, I took an L. But at the same time, bro, I didn't let it change me. You know what I'm saying? That was the first denial that I got in acting. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I told myself, you know what? I'm just going to continue moving forward, back to business.
Did you find that you just sort of like didn't accept it? You just kind of said, I'm not going to let it get to me. Got to keep moving.
Yeah, because I felt like that was the right then and there was the, are you ready for this or are you not? Hmm. And I feel like, have I let it affect me and start to become bitter? Literally with my first denial, bro, then I'm not ready for this business. Right. So I knew consciously that I had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I believe in God and I just believe in spirituality, bro. And I knew that that's God testing me. Mm-hmm. He's telling me, son, let me see if you're ready.
Okay.
I'm going to let them tell you no. What are you going to do? And I did the total opposite. I didn't let it affect me. It bothered me. I was sad about it because I was like, damn, I was perfect for this role. It's a baby father. You know, he's debonair. He has charm. I'm like, this is me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so in that aspect, I was like, damn, man. But I knew that something was still there. Like, I just felt it. And I didn't proclaim it because I'm also a dude that even though I like to manifest, you know, my dreams and shit like that, there's certain things that you don't want to say either because there's so much evil out here and you don't want to, you know what I mean? So I kept it to myself. Yeah. So literally,
I follow that same rule too. I never share because it's not even so much that a person might like purposely want to harm me, but they might be in a really tough place in their life and subconsciously they don't want good for themselves. They definitely don't want good for me.
Yes, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's something that you have to learn. Like,
yeah.
Because when you're a person who's coming in this entertainment game and you go through certain accolades, you want to share it and you want to, but you learn that there's a lot of people out there that it's not going to feel. Hold on, Evan, come here, Evan.
This is a family event, by the way.
Come here. Yeah, it's a family.
So yeah, no, you were sharing that.
So they denied me. Mm-hmm. And then continue. I said back to business. Went back to the rapping. 2 weeks after that, they called me back. And they're like, listen, even though Showtime passed on you as the lead role, Frankie loves you so much and love what you bring, what you brung to the audition, that she created a whole new character for you on the show. So that's how I got back on the show.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And I became the best friend of the baby father. You know what I'm saying? So again, but when they told me no, I just felt like it wasn't over.
Okay.
I felt it, bro, and I didn't want to say it, but I felt it, and I kept it to myself, and surely it wasn't over, and it literally came back, you know what I'm saying?
How much of your natural training from just building yourself up as a music artist helped with this process where, you know, it didn't work out the first time, and you were like, all right, I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm going to move on. And then of course, you know, the role comes. They've written something for you. And now you're ready to jump on board on this. Like, how much of, like, the music stuff prepared you for these moments? Like, had you not had the music, do you think you would have taken what happened the way you did?
Yes, absolutely.
Still the same?
No. I would have taken the opposite. It would have crumbled me.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because the music, it prepared me in so many ways. And one of the main ways is it prepared me for disappointment. I've went through so much disappointment in music. Even to this day, I go through disappointment. And it's a lot of self-disappointment, but it's also a lot of disappointment that I can't control.
Right.
And it literally made my skin tough as nails. You know what I'm saying? So without that, without that kind of training, yeah, I would have crumbled at that first or not. Right. At that first, I might have never wanted to do it again. I might have thought it was over. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely, music prepared me in that aspect, and it also prepared me with my confidence. Music, because I went through all these disappointments, that also built my character, right? And because I had so much triumph, that built my confidence. So the confidence I have in music, it boiled over to the acting. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it made me just confident in everything that I do, because I'm already confident. I already performed in front of thousands of people. I've met all these people. Like, I'm me. So it kind of, like, again, it added that extra confidence transitioning into the acting.
For you, is confidence parallel with humbleness? For you, is confidence and humbleness have a connection?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know some people will say that, you know, something has made them confident, and sometimes it's based on something else. It's more ego and pride. It's more about proving themselves because they're still afraid. For you, do you find that your confidence today is based in a humbleness and a truth?
100%. 100%.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you've experienced that in the music game, where it's like you got a lot of people that like exude this so-called confidence, but it's not that, it's fear.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, my confidence, man, is it's not a wall hiding from something else. Like, it's not I'm overly confident because I'm have a low self-esteem. Like, I'm really confident because of the trials and tribulations that I went through. Sorry about that. I spit a little bit.
Oh, I didn't even notice you spit on me. I'm so confident, I didn't feel it.
Nah, man. My confidence comes from my trial and error, bro. It's come from my trials and tribulations, man. My confidence has nothing to do with my accolades. People call me a legend all the time, bro. I'm not comfortable with that.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a person that, like, my confidence literally comes from humbleness, man. It comes from just being sure of myself, being, you know what I mean? Like, knowing that God got me, yo. Like, I believe in God. God got me. Like, that's where my confidence comes from.
Right. And what was that? What was that turning point for you? And we're going to get back to Smith in a second. What was that turning point for you where you realize, no, this is who I am, and I believe in myself, and I'm going to rock it out?
When was that?
When was that turning point for you? You know, because we're all searching, right? At some point as an artist, you're searching for your voice, and you're searching. In the beginning, you probably don't necessarily know who you are just yet, but you know that this is for you.
Right.
You know that you have some skill set.
My turning point again was disappointment. I remember my brother asked a friend of ours who we was helping a lot musically. You know what I mean? We was helping him a lot musically. And he asked him, do you have any plans for my brother? And my friend said no. So that literally was a turning point for me, as far as, like I said, it was disappointment. I was like, you know what? Nobody believes in me, man. Fuck that. I'm going to believe in myself, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the more I believed in myself, the more people started believing in me. And I feel like that's what people don't get. Like, people ain't going to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself. It starts with you.
Right.
And again, like, it switched to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just going through disappointment. I wanted to do this so bad. Like, I was trying. I was like, yo, listen, man. I was almost like the dude in the basketball court that I always wanted to get picked for the starting five, and they would just keep on passing me. I'm like, yo, listen, man, I'm here, man. I got the jumper, man. Come pick me. And niggas was not paying attention to me. So I said, man, fuck that. And to be honest with you, like, it was a lot of anger, bro. I was angry. You know what I'm saying? But I kind of turned that anger into positive fuel. You know, I didn't let the anger defeat me. You know what I'm saying? And even though I did make mistakes with the anger as well, because it was still anger, but for the most part, I turned it into positive fuel, because I was like, God damn, man, I know I'm good. Like, I know I can be somebody. Like, why nobody's paying attention to me, man? Right. Fuck that. And it got me angry. But it also, that just people doubted me, that made me like, it made me, it made me believe in myself more. It was that turning point of like, you know what, not it's now or never. And then, you know, life situations, like me having a father, me being a father, like my son about to come. That's a turning point. Like, all right, what I'm going to do when he's coming? Like, I want to be a role model. I want to be able to provide for my child. So it's things like that, or not having money in my pocket. Like, it was just so many things was happening at once to me it was like a shitstorm, bro. And I was just like, what the fuck am I going to do, man? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, am I back against the wall? Am I going to let it defeat me, man? Or I'm going to go out swinging? And I chose the latter.
And sometimes, like, you just, with so many things happening at the same time, I found that I didn't even have time to be defeated. I just didn't have time for it. Like, I had to, you know, like, I have two kids now, and, you know, you got a child on the way. Mm-hmm. It'll be number two for you. Mm-hmm. For me, it's about them now. Like, it's bigger than me. Before, I could be, like, all in myself. And I found, too, that anger, like, whenever I was angry, you know, when I was going through my own tribulations, that it tapped into truth. I would have these moments where, like, this is the most honest that I feel right now that I ever do when I'm not angry. And when you're honest, you can see things for what they are. So I'm sure even, like, through your thing of anger, you were like, man, but I feel very honest. And mm-hmm. This is how I want to approach things.
Yeah. Yo, what's crazy is that it got to a point where I felt like my best music came out of anger. Because I feel like when I'm most angry, I'm most truthful. Honest. I'm most honest. I'm most passionate, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't, but at the same time, though, I didn't want it to be the only reason why I don't want to make music when I'm angry. I want to be able to make music on emotions. But for a long time, I was one of those dudes that I do get angry. You know what I'm saying? I'm mm-hmm. human. But I'm one of those dudes that know how to turn that anger into positive fuel. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. A lot of people let the anger succumb to them. A lot of people let the anger succumb them. Like, they let the anger take control. So I was one of those dudes that, through trial and error, I learned to turn anger into positive fuel.
I think the anger was a springboard for you.
Yeah.
Into your truth. And you found how to manage it all. And you didn't have to be angry anymore to produce really great music.
Right.
Now, jumping forward, I'm thinking now of day one for you on the set of Smilf. What were some of the feelings that you had before you even arrived on set? You know, here you are getting your makeup done and you're putting your costume on. What's going through your mind?
I feel like a star, man.
Yeah.
I feel like a star. I feel like, wow, this is great hospitality.
Yeah.
Because I know the hospitality in rap. I'm like, damn, these motherfuckers bring me Hennessy. They're bringing me strawberries and grapes in my trailer. You know, the total contrast, the different, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just acting and music. Mm-hmm. And I felt, yo, bro, I was like, yo, I'm here now.
Yeah.
That was just my sentiment. I'm fucking here now, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck. Right. Because a lot of times, too, with the music, in my beginning stages, mm-hmm. Because it was happening so fast and I never thought it was going to happen, mm-hmm. I overlooked a lot of things that I should have appreciated.
Got it.
And I made sure that, first day on set, I made sure that I told myself I'm going to appreciate every single fucking moment. Mm-hmm. Every thank you I'm going to remember, all that. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, like, I'm going off of music, mm-hmm. I bypassed a lot of things. Right. Because it was happening so fast. And, you know, music is all about competitiveness and being the machismo, gangster, angry. So you have to keep this kind of perception of fuck everybody. But a lot of times, I didn't smell the coffee when all these things was happening in music.
Right.
So I made sure that, listen, man, when I transition to acting, I'm going to be the total opposite. I'm going to literally remember every handshake. I'm going to say hello to everybody. I'm going to smile at everybody. I'm going to ask how you doing. How's your day? Mm-hmm. How's your family? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be the most friendly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, I'm here now, bro. And I'm really going to take advantage of this moment.
It's actually, you know, I found that the acting business is a place where you don't have to be aggressive like that, though there are aggressive individuals in this business that I find don't need to be. And sometimes they're not very kind to the people around them. I look at everybody as the future, because the guy who's the production assistant who takes me to my trailer, checks in with me, makes sure that I have everything I need, that's the guy one day, and it doesn't matter if he's going to be the guy that runs a studio one day. It doesn't matter to me. I'm still going to treat them like a human being, because you have to. But you don't have to be mean to them. It's not a hostile environment. When it is hostile, that's what's wrong with that person. But it doesn't require to be hostile at all. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure in the music industry, in hip-hop, you know, there's a certain persona, a certain energy that happens that's just part of it. Because we were talking about this earlier, you know, there's a certain competitiveness that occurs. So that's in the air.
Yeah, it's definitely, acting is definitely not hostile.
No. Except for when the scene takes off and there's a hostile moment in the scene.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, for the most part, it's all love. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's almost like it's so cool. It's like it's so much love. It seems fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like it just seems
and
fake.
You know, and it can be fake sometimes. But you're gonna find really good people in this business.
Yeah, definitely.
That are straight up with you.
Yeah.
And I think those are the ones you probably already connected with on the set of Smilf.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me now about they're ready to call action. You've got your lines in your system. You've got to utter your first word. Now, you are a master of words because you're constantly mixing and matching words in your music.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking somebody else's words, the call action. What's that moment like for you?
Oh, I was nervous.
Nervous?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. I was fucking nervous, man. Just my mentality was, man, just do a good job, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just do a good fucking job, man. Like, leave a long-lasting impression, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just what I think. Like, yo, just leave an impression, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did, man. You know what I'm saying? I just... And it again, music made it easier for me to remember lines, right? Mm-hmm. Because I have to remember my music.
Sure.
So the lines, me remembering lines weren't an issue. And I didn't really have that much lines anyway, mm-hmm. so it was easy for me.
Right.
But it was just... It's crazy because it's people don't really. I feel like it's hard acting like yourself,
mm-hmm.
and what I mean by that is when I'm myself, there's no cameras around,
mm-hmm.
right? So now you want me to act how I am without the cameras. So now I have to channel, like right now, who
I
am.
Channel you on camera,
and I feel like that's hard, bro. I feel like people say, "Yo, it's easy, man. You just act like yourself." But
mm-hmm.
I'm acting like myself on a camera now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now I have to remember, what's all the stuff that I do off camera?
Right.
So I feel like it's a little challenge there. You know what I'm saying? So I was just thinking to myself, like, try to act like you. Like, I'm thinking to myself, that's what they want me for, to act like myself. So it was the first time me doing that too. Me actually acting like myself.
Right.
And now it's being recorded. But yeah, man, I just wanted to make sure that I left a good impression, man. You know what I'm saying? And I want the body to, and I also do that. This is the first day of forever for me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or for the next, God knows how many years of my life, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be doing this, you know what I'm saying? I was nervous, though.
Yeah.
I was nervous because it happened so fast, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
you gotta make sure you cued right. Like, I got to remember, I not only got to remember my lines, but I got to remember theirs. Like, when they end off.
You need to know when you come in.
I need to know when I come in, you know what I'm saying? So... And they're so fat, I could tell that they're seasoned. They've been in this show, they've done shows before. I'm the new guy, you know
what
I'm saying?
Did it throw you off sometimes when they're talking so low? You're like, wait, I gotta hear when my cue comes in.
Yeah, bro, hell yeah, oh, hell yeah. Like,
wait, okay.
So that was the kind of, like just getting in tune with that. Getting in tune with, like, just being, knowing all these things that are going on at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing, like, what's your cue. Knowing, mm-hmm. hearing, make sure you hear them, what they're saying. Then when you come in, then is this, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, but, Yeah. I was nervous.
Now that was your first time. At what point did you find you got comfortable and why? What was that moment where you're like, okay, this is, you know, or are you still nervous?
So comfortable. I think once I got. I'm comfortable and I'm still nervous, and I feel like. I'm nervous. The preparation is what makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. But I feel like once I hit the set...
Then you're there.
I'm there. It's gone.
You're there. It turns on.
It's gone. You know what I'm saying? It's the prep. It's like when I took your class, right? I never forget. Like, you had me read... You gave me a paper. And we read a... I forgot what we read. Who did I read with? I read with the homie. I forgot what it was. But everybody was like... One of the girls was like... You gave him this paper the day before, right?
I was like, no.
Yeah.
I just gave it to him.
Yo, bro, when you gave me that paper, bro, the script, I was nervous as shit, bro. Mm. I was like, oh, shit, man. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fucking nervous. But as soon as the lights, camera, action came on, bro,
boom.
That shit went away, man.
Yeah.
The nervousness went away.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that this is just unknown territory?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I always say that the reason students get nervous or the reason the actors get nervous is because they just don't know enough information about what's there. Like, you didn't really have time to look at the script and know what this story was about. I mean, I gave you the script. You didn't look at it. I had you guys hold the script upside down, like backwards. Mm-hmm. And so it came to your moment to read, boom, go. Mm-hmm. And you had to make a choice right away. And of course, I do that on purpose as a way to, so that we can practice not overthinking.
Right. I think that's a great tactic.
Because sometimes we don't have enough time to overthink. And if you overthink, it affects the rhythm of the entire scene.
100%.
Everything that's happening.
100%. Because then you start to procrastinate. And I'm a master overthinker. Mm-hmm. That's one of my, like, if you say flaw, that's one of my mm-hmm. flaws, man.
Right.
I overthink, yo. Everything, man. Mm-hmm. But I also think that that's a great weapon of mine, too.
But it's also great for planning.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a great planner. You know, it probably affects the rhythm and how you write mm-hmm. and how you perform and how you make deals. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make a deal with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's got to be right. It's got to feel right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it becomes a flaw or becomes it gets in the way only when it gets in the way of, like, what you're trying to do. But it's a good thing. It's
right.
like anything, right? Diet, like if you eat too much of something, might be bad for you, but it's good for you if you eat it in moderation. So mm-hmm. we could probably look at it that way. So now you're just coming off of season two, right? Mm-hmm. You've done season two of Smilf. And now having your experience on set and doing such great work, do you find, I guess my question to you is, you know, you're auditioning for other projects now. Who are some of the directors that you look forward to working with?
Directors. I would love to work with, I want to work with Jonah Hill, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to work with Jonah Hill.
Awesome.
I want to work with directors who are influencers, man, who mm-hmm. do just dope shit. Like, I don't want to, I guess I can say, like, Quentin. I guess mm-hmm. I can say, like, Steven. But mm-hmm. I would love to work with Martin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I love to work with Scorsese, man. But I want to work with the Coen brothers. Like, there's mm-hmm. a few, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish I could work with Stanley. They dig him up mm-hmm. and they dig him up from the grave or
yeah.
uncremate him, wherever he's at. I don't know which.
You know, he's originally from the Boogie Down Bronx.
What?
I don't know if you know that.
I didn't.
He's not too far from your neck of the woods.
That's crazy.
Just across the bridge.
That's crazy.
At some point, but he's, from what I'm saying, he's originally from the Bronx. There's a lot of people originally from, you know, even East Harlem. I mean, I think Al Pacino mm-hmm. was born here, or he yeah. lived with his grandparents here, mm-hmm. or in the Bronx. You know, Burt Lancaster, that's their historical legends here in yeah. East Harlem and El Barrio.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Of people who are from here, and then you got so many more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really great. And for you now, you know, having some experience, you know, as an actor, you know, you've got a lot of people who are also musical artists who are thinking, man, I'd like to do acting, who actually probably music was first for them, and then they got the acting bug later. What would you advise them in terms of approaching this work?
Oh, man, I would tell them, first and foremost, have patience.
Yeah.
I think patience is such a virtue, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's vital, man, like, just to be patient, man, like, because with a lot of things happen. Nothing happens overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens overnight, man. And most of the time, when you're about to do something really special and you're about to embark on a real special journey, it's literally being, it's not something that comes like just opening the door, man. It's mm-hmm. you got to go through so much shit. So I would say just to be patient. And I would also say to never give up. And I feel like, you know, if you have patience, you won't give up, right? Because if you have patience, then you're in it for the long haul, man.
Mm-hmm.
I seen one of the videos that you did on your Instagram, and you were saying that it could be next year, it could be 20 years from now, it could be, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's the realest drop. And I feel like it's one of the, maybe the most common advice, but it's literally the most vital. Just not giving up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's at the time where it's the darkest hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing is working. And right. you're literally, because you're human, right? So we're all going to always second guess ourselves. And I don't think it matters how much successful we get. I think that that's something that's always going to be in us.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to be like, damn, yo, is it over? Damn, yo, what am I going to do next? Damn, yo, what's going to happen? And I feel like it's when you really get into the darkest hours of that is when you have to activate the faith. It has to come right there. It has to come that, nah, I'm not giving up. Because mm-hmm. it's literally a breaking point. And you might go through those multiple times. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because there's so much bad out here that wants people to quit. They want people to not pursue their dreams. That's they right. want people to not live out their best lives. Right? There's so much energy out there that wants the opposite of that. They want just horrible shit. So it's in those trying times, man, the most trying times, yo, when you just gotta look yourself in the mirror and be like, yo, I am in it. Like, I'm not going nowhere. And just kind of reaffirm yourself, man. And build again, man, it's self-confidence, man. It's self-belief in yourself. And it's building on it. Because you're gonna go through times. I don't give a fuck who you are, the most successful actor or the one coming up. You're going to go through times where it's going to be dark and you're going to be like, yo, what the fuck I'm doing?
Right.
Is this it for me?
Right.
I ask myself, am I ever going to get another audition? I ask myself all the time, man. Yo, am I ever going to get an agent? Am I ever going to get... I ask myself all the time, but I just don't quit, man. I can't. Mm-hmm. I just can't quit, man. You know how horrible that would be? Yeah, my story, Bodega Bams, it disappears and Nathaniel... What happened to this guy? That's horrible, man. Like, I can't quit.
Well, especially after like all the work you put into it, and how much you've invested, not only in yourself but just in your artistry. You know, because a lot of people, it's interesting. You know, people say, "Oh yeah, that person overnight they showed up," and they never realized that you know, Nate Bodega Bams has been at it for a long time, since you're a kid, to develop your voice.
Yeah, and not to cut you off, I don't, and that's a question too, right? And again, it's about just being confident and just having faith, because I can take it as, damn, I've been doing this for so long, yo, when is it gonna ever hit for me?
Right.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times I say, wow, look at all the stuff that I think is good and nobody cares really. So it's about just like exiting out those kind of like ideas and then those kind of just feelings. Like, who cares if you know you tackled and you won and you garnered all these accolades? Stop living for other people. Like, even if they don't think it's enough, like, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? Like, continue.
It's gotta be for you.
It gotta be for you.
It's gotta be for you.
And again, like, we as humans, we, you know what I mean, we get into the pattern of just, yo, you don't think that's hot, man? Of trying to win people over. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to happen, man. But I think once you know that winning people over is not going to get you nowhere, and you focus more on just winning yourself over, and because that's how you also appreciate things, too.
Right.
Because if we're so busy trying to get the confirmation of man, we're not appreciating all the beautiful things that we're accomplishing in the journey. And again, like is those little things that are so, so fucking vital, too, man. Because it's almost like if you don't appreciate the little, how can you ever get the lot?
Yeah.
How you know what I mean? You have to appreciate the $10 in your pocket before you make $100.
Oh yeah.
And people all in a lot more than a lot, people they run before they crawl, bro. Niggas is walking before they crawl. Like, there's so many stages in this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? You gotta crawl and walk and run. You know what I'm saying? And it might have to go back. You might break your legs while you running.
Revisit.
You gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas don't talk about that. You went from crawling to walking, then you started running, then you sprained your ankle.
Yeah.
Now it's going back to crawling again.
That's right.
I gotta learn to walk again. You know, it's because it never stops, bro. But those three things, crawling, walking, running. Crawling, walking, running. And when you go through life, nigga, you're gonna get a bum knee.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have to lay up and now you're back to crawling. You know what I'm saying? Like, or you might have to take a step back and go back to walking because you're running too fast and you got a breath. Like, it's just so many ways to look at shit like that, man. But
I was just thinking, you had said something earlier that really rang a bell with me. It's like, you know, when you've been working for a long time and you've been building and like you face your tribulations, you deal with the fears, the anxieties, you accept yourself, you do it for you. When you have these moments of like darkness, right, these moments of tribulations, you realize that you handle it better than you would have done 10 years ago because of the journey that you're on.
Exactly.
And then 10 years later, something else comes along, but it's not that bad anymore because you just continue to build your strength. And you have those moments where you can say, wow, look how far I've come. And that really is for you. Because it's not like you're checking in with anybody like, hey, anybody could tell me how far I've come? No, you could say, hey, no, this is how far I've come. Somebody once told me this, this woman who, she was teaching me how to play chess. And I love this line all the time, and it's probably the most simplest line, but I love it. You know, she said, you know, sometimes you got to move two spaces back to move forward. So always keep that in mind. Moving back doesn't mean that you're going back. It means that you're going to move forward, but this is what you have to do now to get ahead.
No, definitely. And that's the right way to look at things, right? And that's how I look at things. But for a lot, it's easier said than done too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, because it once again, it takes kind of like a training of the mind to get into that kind of mentality. Because people don't want to go to the two steps back in the moment. Niggas want to move forward all the time. And it's easy to get discouraged when you go move two steps back. You know what I'm saying? Like, so again, you're right. When you've been in this game for so long and you've garnered so much shit, it just prepares you for those type of things when you do go two steps back. Like 10 years from now, again, you ask me if I ain't have rap and I ain't have all the knowledge that I had in rap, and how would my reaction been if they would have said, yo, you're not going to get the role? I'll tell you, it would have crumbled.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like a lot of times when people, there's some people who shoot the superstardom out of nowhere, and there's some people who actually, you see, have been around and just keep on going. I feel like the reason why people, like a person like me who's probably been around for a minute now, and I'm still not at the mountaintop, is because I'm one of those dudes that I couldn't have shot the superstardom. I never would have survived, bro. If I didn't go through all the work I've went through, if I didn't go through all the trial and error and disappointments, if I would have been like a literally an overnight celebrity, I probably would have died. Like, I would have failed horribly.
Right.
I have to go through all these bumps and bruises so that when I get to that mountaintop, nothing is going to defeat me. Nothing.
Yeah.
What?
So for me, I have a spiritual teacher that I've been seeing now for probably the past 11 years. And before I met her, she's a friend now, like a second mom, you know, but she taught me a lot of great lessons about truly loving myself and looking at myself in the mirror and seeing myself for exactly who I was. Because before that, as simple as the term, love yourself, believe in yourself, accept yourself, like those things may just sound like very simple things. But people say, oh, I love myself, but maybe they don't really know what love truly is. And so before that, I was definitely in a place where I was trying to please others. I do stand-up comedy as well. I did stand-up comedy for years, but I used to do stand-up for the audience. I would do it because hoping that they would accept me, they'll laugh at my jokes. Where now I'm in a place where now I'm asking the questions like, what do I want to talk about? I care less. I don't even care about the audience anymore. I just want to know what the hell I want to talk about.
Right.
So more recently, I've been doing stand-up, kind of like a jazz musician, where I'm just improvising. I really have no plan what I'm going to talk about, but I'm just sharing stories. And I could care less about, do they find it funny? But anyways, I'm a different person today than I was before. And I always forget to pat myself on the back sometimes. And sometimes I forget. She always has to remind me to remember where I've come, how far I've come. Because that journey, you got to honor that. You got to look back and you got to say, man, I remember when I was afraid of this and I wasn't sure about that. But now I'm past that, but I'm on to new challenges. You know?
Yes, 100%, man. Like,
as I was just moments ago. I was like, yeah, clearing my throat.
Nah, 100%, bro. Like, it's you got to use the journey, man, to get where you're going, bro, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's... And again, like, some people have it differently. Some people are rocket overnight celebrities, like. And there's some people that you've seen grinding and grinding and grinding. And I always like those kind of stories more because I feel like those kind of stories last longer.
Yeah.
And they're more inspirational.
Sure.
Opposed to, like, the overnight celebrity thing. Mm-hmm. There's a countless of actors, rappers, singers that were here one day and gone the next, right? And I feel like one of the reasons why they were here one day and gone the next is because they didn't have a long enough journey before they got to the mountaintop, right?
Right.
Because people cheat too, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's cheaters. There's ways to go about things that you can skip the line, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then there's some people who don't. There's some people who don't. Not only they don't know how to, so they stuck on the line.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, like, but there's people out there who have these easier avenues to get to where they're going. You know what I mean? It's the tortoise and the hare race.
But you gain strength on that line, and you can and you see the cheaters coming a mile away.
Exactly. So you know what's what. You know what's gourmet and what's microwave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's people gonna really enjoy and what's for the moment, what's cool. I think you have to embrace all the defeat on that journey, man. I think that shit is just the most important thing too. Just always, like, I think losses are so great.
Yeah.
Like, going through losses are great, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because, again, like, I always was a person that I felt like, yo, all this bad shit is happening to me, something good is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been kind of like a dude that embraces it. Don't get me wrong, I don't like it. I don't think nobody's ever going to like it. But it's almost like something clicks in my head. When a lot of disappointments happen, at the same time for me, I'm like, oh shit, something good about to happen, man.
Right.
And that's how I switch it around. Like, I'm like, yo, something good is right around the corner. And I know it's easier said than done, but it's so true. Like, when it rains, eventually the sun comes out, bro. It doesn't rain forever, man. You know what I'm saying? When you're walking down the dark tunnel, eventually the light's going to be at the end of the tunnel. And I feel like once you really just grasp that, you know what I'm saying? And like really have that confirmed in your head, bro, you'll be all right, man. You're going to take defeat like with just so much class.
Right.
It's not going to break you down. Again, you know, there's certain situations where shit is going to hit you harder. You know what I'm saying? But I think just the overall mentality is, my nigga, like, bring it on. Bring the defeat, my nigga, because I know the W is coming.
During all those tribulations, do you find that you discover lessons in them? And do you always see the lessons in them, or sometimes you're not sure? Or when the lessons do come, are you open to them?
Yes, of course. I see lessons in them. I even have a different kind of perspective of wins and losses. Mm-hmm. I feel like nobody is a loser. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a matter of perspective. I feel like
you're always winning no matter what, you're always learning.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like the concept of winners and losers, I feel like that was just somebody separating two groups. Mm-hmm. They want a separation.
Right.
They wanted to create some kind of, this is the winner side, this is the loser side. And I feel like there's no such thing, bro. I said, because even the winner, they lost something. Even the loser, like, everybody loses something. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there's no such thing as you losing, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no such thing as you losing. Like, everybody wins, man. Everybody wins one way or another. If you're breathing, you win. You know what I'm saying? Like, even in the matter of sports, like, the team just lost, like the Cavaliers lost to the Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're considered losers, but they just beat everybody in the Eastern Conference. So they're winners. Like,
they just happen to lose these games.
They just happen to lose
on a technical level. They lost the game.
They lost the game, but they're not losers.
Right.
But we losing team. Like, okay, I get it. It's to separate two groups. It's to kind of like create that kind of, what side you want to be on?
Wow.
But it's literally winning and losing is a matter of perspective, bro. Because if you look at it, bro, if winning and losing is really true, then everybody loses.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loses, bro. Everybody loses, my nigga. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is 100% nothing. So I don't believe in winning and losing, bro. I think in losses, there's lessons. For example, the Cavaliers lost the finals. What's the lesson? Mm. Get better next year. So it's not a loss because you beat everybody else. You just lost that. You lost that.
Right.
Or that game. But to me, it's a lesson in that. So, yeah, bro, there's lesson in every time there's a loss.
Wow.
I
love that. And I love how you broke it up into two groups, that somebody came along and said, and as you're explaining that, I suspect that somebody who wanted to control a people and have them either kill each other, fight constantly, never feel like they've arrived, came in and separated the two groups and said, have your day while I stay here and collect the benefits of
that's
this.
That's what I'm saying. It's yeah, man. Somebody just made two groups.
Yep.
That constantly people want to be on either, people are on both sides, right? This is what it is. You're on the winner side or you're on the loser side. Not even in sports, just in hypothetically speaking, in general, in life, there's winnings and losers.
Mm-hmm.
To me, my nigga, there's no losers, bro. There's no losers, bro.
Yeah.
It's lessons. Winners and lessons, you know what I'm saying? People win, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I feel like even losers win. So I don't believe in a loser.
Right.
That's just a mentality. People really think they're losers. There's people out there who really think they're losers, yo. Yo, I lost everything. I lose this. I lose that. And they're not realizing that they're winners, man. Like, so it's, like I said, man, I think winning and losing nowadays is just, it's a matter of perspective, man. And I don't believe in winners and losers. I don't believe nobody's a loser.
Well, as you continue to win as a music artist, as an actor now, pursuing your dreams from when you were a kid, what's next for you? What can we expect?
It'd be certain questions, man, that I don't even know how to answer.
I mean, it could easily be as simple as, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this weekend with my son.
That's fire. I'm going to start saying that, man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
Because that has so much value and so much worth. I'm sitting here. We're doing this interview. Your son is coming out from time to time from watching TV. And really, really, and I say this sincerely, I'm taking away time from you and your son.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. And your son knows it. He comes out to visit. And he's right. He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So you know what? I think what's next for you is you're going to have a wonderful weekend with your son.
That's dope, though, man. Because that's how, you know, everybody asks that question, man. What's next for you?
Yeah.
And it's something so simple like that, man, that's just, to me, that's fire. Because I could have went off and said, what's next to me, man? The world. I'm gonna conquer everything. To me, what's next for me? Now I'm going to get an Academy Award. You know what I'm saying? But that shit that's cool, man. But
yeah,
it's something so simple as, I'm just going to enjoy the rest of the day, man. That's what's next for me.
Yeah, that's it,
I'm going to start saying that, bro.
Listen, people would ask me, so what's next for you? I was like, you know what? What's next for me? And I used to be sincere about it. It sounded like I was being a jerk or something. But I would say, I got to do laundry. Like, I know that
that's great, man.
After I get off set, I got a bag of dirty laundry waiting for me.
That's great.
And I got to go take care of that.
That's great, man. That's great, man.
I won't put it on my resume, but that's next.
That's fire. I'm glad. Because honestly, bro, I really don't know how to... I've heard that question so much that I don't know how to answer it no more.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Because there's so many ways to answer it. Because you can go off and be like, "What's next for me, man?" And just think of 100 things. What's next for you?
Yeah.
But I always like to come from a place where, like I said, it's just humbleness. And I feel like that's like one of the most humblest things I ever heard. Yo, I'm going to go do laundry, man. That's what's next, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the store and get a sandwich, like.
That sounds
bad. And people relate to it. And you want, whoever's asking you what's next, you want them to feel like my next is obtainable for you, man.
Yeah.
You feel me? So if a person asks me what's next, what's next is I'm going to make $100 million, and somebody's, you're going to lose them. You're losing them now. Now they're like, oh, that's great, man. Great for you.
Yeah, we had a great journey this entire interview.
And then
he's off to out of space.
I can't get you. I can't follow you now. But if I say, yo, what's next, man? Yo, I'm about to go enjoy the weather.
You can
do that too.
That's true. Now, if folks want to connect with you, as I've connected with you, I mean, of course, you and I connected as friends, and you see what I'm saying? It's okay. It's
one
okay.
Could you text Grandma and say if she...
So for folks who want to connect with you, want to follow you, follow what you're doing, whether it's acting, music, or you just spending time with your family, where can they find you?
Instagram, Bodega Bams. Twitter, Bodega Bams. There's only real two social media accounts that matter.
And maybe 119th Street when you're back there reminiscing.
Yeah.
You and your brother playing Manhunt.
Yeah, that was fire.
Suicide. You know, eating the old candies on the block, from Candy Dots to Chico Stick to Peanut Chews to the Dollar Candies. Whatever was available back then, sticking your head in the freezer in the summertime and breathing in that cold-ass air and then coming out, feel like you're going to suffocate. You know what I'm saying? All that fun stuff, the Italian Ices.
Italian Ices is
classic. Listen, Nate, Bodega Bams, pleasure having you on my show, man.
Thank you, brother.
And we should definitely do a follow-up. We could just talk about anything.
I'm down.
To help inspire some of these artists out here.
No, I'm down, man. Hell yeah.
Thanks, my brother.
My brother.
Appreciate it. This is Victor Cruz with the Victor Cruz Acting Studio. Keep following us. Share this with your friends and family. And I'll talk to you all soon.